We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Robbie Hummel. The Goodman and Hummel podcast is back after a long hiatus. I thought it would be longer. I thought you'd be in Tokyo right now, Rob, but you are not, and instead you're getting absolutely crucified on Twitter. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the getting pummeled on Twitter club, because
I know you're a seasoned vet of that club, so I know you've got that that down pat.
I really do, but it has not been the greatest month for you, Rob.
No, it has not.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, it's hard. You know, I have not watched any Olympics, and I love the Olympics, which is sad for me. You know, I love watching all the sports. I went to the Olympics in 96. My parents took us. But I've not watched 1 minute of the Olympic Games this year. You know, I really didn't think about what Twitter would be like until like a couple weeks after we didn't qualify. I was like, man, as the games get shown, this is going to get not good. And that was accurate. It has not been good. It's been very hard, actually. You know, you can't get away from it. I should just mute people, but, you know.
Yes, you should.
Yeah. I responded to some random guy there, and I've never been somebody that would do that stuff, but I mean, he just made it so personal. So,
again, welcome to the world of Twitter, because
it gets
so ugly.
No, it does. And the frustrating thing is even like, I think people that cover the sport or just basketball in general have been like, well, why do we send this group of guys? And like, what you fail to understand is this group of guys that, you know, outside of one that was supposed to go, are the best players in the 3-on-3 world. You know, we won the world championship in 2019. We, beat everybody handily. We had one close game, or two close games. So,
but it was a different team, correct? It was a different group than what we saw out there.
Different group. Yeah. So Canyon Berry, got hurt a day before we went. So we had to replace him. We did that with Joey King, who played in Minnesota. And that's not any, I mean, he doesn't know any of the plays. Like, we haven't practiced together.
Totally different player.
Totally different player than Canyon. Canyon was a tough guy to replace, because in the USA pool of players, you have to take someone from your top 10 when you replace a guy, because you can't just go out and grab whoever. Like, you got to grab somebody from that's in the pool. And Canyon's a 6'7", 6'8", super athlete, much like his brothers, that has a super high basketball IQ and is an elite defender. And you could tell that we really missed him in that regard. And then we added Damo Jones and Damon Huffman, who was on the World Cup team, did not make the team. So it was a different group than 2019. And certainly, like, you know, years pass and teams change. But, you know, it's frustrating for me that when you look back at it, the team that won did not get the opportunity to continue to win.
So. Well, let's move forward to you getting absolutely abused by a 40-year-old in the post in the TBT.
You know what? Go to the box score. Go to the box score. Now, I will say this. This guy's name is Jeff Gibbs. He played at Otterbein. He still is playing professional basketball. He's 6'1". His wingspan has got to be like 7 foot. Because I don't know how I wasn't able to block this dude's shot. He has to weigh 270 pounds. He's got the biggest chest of any person I've ever seen in pro basketball. And, yeah, they were ISOing him on me early and often last night to the point where I was like, I've got to front this guy. I am getting exposed on the block. But then I thought he had like 30 points. I swear to God, I did. I was talking to Ryan Smith after the game, who's our coach. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I just couldn't guard that guy. And he was like, dude, he had 11 points. It felt like 40, but I had 17. So again, to my Twitter haters,
you know what? you're going to be saying the same thing when you and I go at it. I couldn't guard him. I'm going to put on a few more pounds and I'm going to be Jeff Gibbs.
Let me tell you this. I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass. I promise.
Let's hope we don't find that out. We don't need any more knee injuries. Okay. We need you being able to, you know, produce for the field of 68 this year. Okay. So
I could do that for my chair here. So, whether I get hurt or not, I'm good to go.
No more injuries. I'm getting over an injury of my own. I had a bone bruise that legitimately.
You get hurt at the Peach Jam?
No, I got hurt before that. I did. Listen, I got plenty of injury stories lately. Oh, one was about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. I dove for a ball playing softball, and I swear to God, bone bruise, the thing blew up twice the size and went all the way like from like my hamstring all the way down through my toes. And it took like
bone bruise to your knee or where?
It was, you name it. It was my whole leg.
You had a ginormous bone bruise.
All ginormous. Like never before. So, okay. Finally, I'm feeling better. And I go to the Peach Jam and I'm walking out the other night. This is a great story. I'm walking out the other night. I feel something bite me. And I'm like, fuck, like what? I mean, it stung. Now I'm allergic to bees. Okay. I'm allergic to bees. Like 20 years ago.
You think that I'm soft and you.
I know. I shouldn't tell this story. I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm gonna. So like 20 years ago, I got stung by a bee and nobody was home. I was on my way back in like a Jeep or something, got stung in my back. So I'm itchy as hell. I'm like on the bed, like rubbing my back against the bed. It's that itchy. So my wife is like, go to the hospital. Just go to the hospital. So I walk in and literally I walk in and they grab me. And I guess my eyes were like closed shut, completely swollen shut. And from then on, I need an EpiPen. Anyway, so fast forward, I get bitten and I'm like, oh shit. Like anytime I get bitten, I forgot the EpiPen.
Well, that's a responsible thing to do.
I know. It wasn't very smart. Usually I have them, but they're expensive and you got to get them every year. It's just one of those. And I don't really travel with it. Yeah, like, I'll throw it in a bag.
Why have that expense when you could just die? You
know? That's right. So I get bitten and I'm with Doster. We're walking out of the Peach Jam and I'm like trying to remain kind of cool, but like I'm worried. Like I could be dead in 15 minutes. I mean, legitimately could be dead in 15 minutes. So Doster could care less. Like legitimately doesn't, not worried one bit.
Could you explain the severity of your allergy?
I think he just thinks that like, you know, if I die, he gets more of Field of 68. So no big deal. You know, it's a win-win for him. So we go and I get Benadryl. I get Benadryl, just, you know, get some Benadryl. He doesn't even come in with me. He's just waiting outside of the car. So I could have died inside the grocery store. No big deal. I come back out. I'm like, you know, and we were going to meet Terrence Oglesby for dinner at this place right around the corner. So I dropped Oster off and I'm going to go to the University Medical Center. So I drop him off. I go to the University Medical Center and the place is jammed. It looks like a COVID unit. When I walk in and I'm like, oh shit. And I check in and she's like, yeah, they'll call you in about 15 minutes. And I'm like, no, I could be dead in 15. Like, I still don't know. It's been about 20 minutes overall now. I'm like, no, somebody's got to make sure that it's not a bee sting where I'm going to die. And the thing is burning like hell. It is like where burning out of control.
Where at? Where'd you get stung?
It's on the side. Like if I showed you right now how red this thing is.
Still?
No. Insanely red. Insanely red. Anyway, so I go in, guy comes over, and I'm like, dude, like, can I get seen at least to see maybe the stinger's still in there, whatever you got to do. So he's like, give me a credit card. I'm like, oh, okay. He takes the credit card and he starts scraping. And he's like, maybe the stinger will come out. Well, it didn't come out.
But you can see it. You can see the stinger.
No, he couldn't even see it. It was red as hell, burning like hell. And then, you know, he's like, hey, yeah, they'll call you in a few minutes. Well, 15 minutes go by, 25 minutes go by. Everywhere you look, there's people like who look like, again, they're dealing with like a COVID mass unit at this point in Augusta, right? Downtown Augusta. And finally, I go up to the desk and I'm like, you know, have they called me? Did I miss it? No, they're going to call you soon. So they call me. I walk in to the triage and she takes my, you know, first my weight, which, damn, obviously I drank, I ate. I don't know what I did down there in Augusta.
Big week in Peace Gym.
Bad week. 225. I weigh more than you now, homo.
You can guard Jeff Gibbs, perhaps, with that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm halfway there to getting to Gibbs' weight, I think. So we go in, and I'm like, and I heard people talking in the main room about like they're waiting 5-7 hours.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, can you see if you can just find the damn stinger and take that out at least? She's like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, well, what the hell? She's like, you're going to have to go back out and they'll call you. I'm like, I went back up front. I'm like, I'm out. Like, don't charge me for this visit. All she did was take my weight. I'm fat. I know I'm fat. Like, that's all I learned here is that I'm fat and I gained pounds in Augusta. So let me get out. So I get out and call Doster and I'm like, I'm going back to the room. And like, yeah, like saw him the next morning. You know, like, again, could have died in my sleep.
Did he check on you?
No, nothing. Zero.
Wow.
Zero.
Man, Doster. Not the guy you want in an emergency, apparently.
That's what it shows. That's what it shows. Rob Doster, not the guy you want if you need somebody. So, anyway. So
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you survived the Peach Jam.
I survived the Peach Jam, and I have a huge, huge.
Was it a B, or do you know?
We don't even know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. No idea, but I have a bunch of medication that I'm supposed to take in case, just in case. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, all right, let's get to it. After our woeful stories of how we both have failed miserably over the past month.
Been some struggles.
There have been some struggles. Let's talk about somebody else who's struggling. Greg Popovich in the Olympic team. Let's start there. And who do you put the blame on? You put it more on Pop, or do you put it on Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard and some of these other guys that aren't producing?
I mean, I think it's shared all the way around. You know, the players have to play, and certainly the coaches have to coach the guys. But also, you know, you got to pick a team in a way where you can build a team.
Yeah.
And look, like if we had the top five or if we did the top 12 guys in the NBA that are from the United States and you have them play, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Steph Curry, this isn't a conversation because the gap is still pretty wide. But when you start taking, you know, like the World Cup in 2019 for 5-on-5, that was what? The D team of probably NBA players? Like, not that they're bad, but when you compare them to who the top 12 is going to be, yeah, it's totally different. Like, JaVale McGee is on our Olympic team.
Kelvin Johnson,
and again, not bad players. JaVale McGee has made himself a really good NBA player. He's had a terrific career when you look at where he has come from. And now he's, what, a three-time NBA champ and has now made a national team. That is an incredible career. But when you look at national teams of the past, it is Hall of Famers. Every spot, Hall of Famer, top to bottom. So, you know, the talent isn't the same as what we're probably used to, but I think also you're now seeing that since the Dream Team in 92, these countries have heavily invested in basketball. And they have done a really good job of not only developing players, but developing chemistry and camaraderie. And these guys have grown up playing together.
Isn't there a pride, Rob? Don't you think there's more of a pride? You played in some of these countries. Not that we don't have pride. Not that, again, Kevin Durant doesn't have pride for his country. He does. Right. But isn't it a different level with some of these other guys?
Yeah, it probably is. And I think also, you know, some of those guys might take the national team stuff not more seriously, but yeah, I guess.
Well, Luka said it. Didn't Luka say he'd rather win a gold medal than an NBA title?
Wow. I mean, yeah, and that probably isn't the case for all of our guys.
How about for any of our guys?
I just think that it's become such a foregone conclusion in most years that the U.S. is just going to win.
Yeah.
To where it's like, yeah, of course we'll win the gold medal. Whereas these other countries, look at Spain. Like, they go through their golden era, and it's kind of on the back end now. The Gasols are old. Ricky Rubio's getting up there. Like, Rudy Fernandez is kind of on his way out. And you look at all these really good Spanish players. Those guys wanted it so bad. So bad. I mean, it would have been, like, legacy defining for them. But you look at, like, for LeBron and those guys, the Redeem team was certainly a big deal. And you could tell it's like, hey, we need to get ourselves back to what we are. But did it mean as much to LeBron to win that gold as it would have to some of those Spanish guys?
Probably not.
I mean, LeBron, he's accomplished everything. He's already won a gold. You know, it's just like, probably not. We don't know. I mean, you wouldn't know unless you ask him, I guess. But it's the world is getting better, and we're not sending our best group. And
well, how about not only not sending our best group, but again, you've got a bunch of dudes that are all scorers that can't all be scorers. They're all used to being the guy, and now you're asking Damian Lillard to be something he's not and never been, ever been.
No, I mean, building a team is a huge part of it. But, like, when you look at, like, the Redeem team and you hear the stories about Kobe Bryant showing up to camp in Vegas, like, 3 days early and going to Krzyzewski and being like, I'm not going to shoot in camp. I am only worried about defending. And that's an extreme example because he was like, dude, you need to shoot too because, like, you're, you know,
Kobe,
one of the seven greatest players of all time. But he was willing to do that, and he was able to do that too. Whereas it's, you know, Damian Lillard might be willing to, but is he as effective?
Right.
Like, that's a big part of it. Like, when you try to be something you're not, sometimes you're like, dude, I'm just not good at this. And that's not his fault. But you've got to be able to build a team and put together a group that can go out there and get the job done, because we still should be winning, you know, these games and playing at a high level. And right now we're just not. But I think it's a little bit on everybody. I think the U.S. has to kind of reevaluate how we do this. Because the world has definitely caught up.
I'm just glad Pop isn't on Twitter, because Pop on Twitter would go back harder than you went back at that dude who was ripping on you.
Yes, he would.
Right?
Mine was weak. Pop would not hold back.
There Pop would not stand for the Twitter slander. And listen, we'll see what happens. I still think they can end up winning gold, but they got a long way to go. Like,
but I do think we need to refigure and revamp how we're doing this. There is no doubt about that.
Well, because even like Jrue Holiday, I think he's actually a perfect guy for this group, right? But he just got there.
He just flew in from Milwaukee.
Right. He's like, tired.
That's not fair.
Right.
But he played great the other night, you know, against France. He was good.
All right. Let's get to the NBA draft Thursday. It's finally here. I feel like the NBA draft gets no juice because you got a week. Like, you got a week after the NBA Finals.
Finals game. Olympics draft.
It's Finals Olympics, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, every day, Aaron Rodgers or something.
Hey, he's dominating the news cycle. It's impressive. It's
amazing.
And it's like, it's the tidal wave of emotions.
Right.
I'm like, hey, I'm retiring. So, no, I think I'm good for one more year. Impressive.
So, all right, let's start with the easy one. Is there anybody – can you give me any case for Detroit taking anybody other than Cade Cunningham?
No.
You can't?
I don't think so. I just think that with their team – first of all, this is the first time they've had the number one pick since 1970.
It's crazy.
Pretty wild since they haven't been that good for a lot of – you know, they certainly had their runs with the Bad Boys and then the Chauncey and Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace teams. But, yeah, that's wild. They have to figure out what they want to do with Jeremy Grant. You know, do you want to keep him? Do you want to move him for younger players? You know, you draft Killian Hayes last year, seventh. He plays 26 games. Yep. He was banged up. Sadiq Bey had a good year.
He did.
He averaged 12 a game. He shot 38% from three. So you've got some young guys where you're like, can we move Jeremy Grant for, you know, pieces and for more of a young core? And that might be yes. But I just think that with Cade Cunningham, you're getting a guy that can not only score, he's a great passer, He can play pick and roll. Yep. I just think when you look at the draft and the other maybe tier one prospects, whether it's Jalen Green, if it's Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, you know, whoever, I just think Cade Cunningham, at the end of the day, you look at all the boxes he checks, it just makes so much sense for Detroit to draft him.
My biggest comparison with him is Luka.
Yeah.
And I know some people probably think I'm crazy, but the size is there. The ability to make people better is there. Yeah, they're not great shooters.
The question would be, can he get Luka Doncic's footwork? Right. Because that allows him to do things where he's not athletically ultra gifted.
That's right.
But he can do things that not a lot of guys can do because he puts on a masterclass in terms
of. You know what Cade's better than Luka at? What? On the defensive end.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's where he's better. But you're right. Luka is just so gifted in terms of using angles and using his footwork to be able to create space. And I mean, he's unbelievable at it. But I think Cade is clearly the number one pick. And then to me, the draft kind of gets interesting for Houston. You know, sure. If you're Houston, again, any of those top like four spots, you take the best player available. You don't really worry.
Their rosters are in such shambles.
Right. Just take the – and I'm going to probably go against what I just said with Cleveland. But what I am saying, like Houston, I know you have John Wall. It wouldn't matter to me. If you
owe John Wall $90 million over the next 2 years.
It's insane. So, like, if you believe Jalen Suggs is the best player on the board, you take him. I don't care if you have John Wall. You don't. You play them two together. Which you can do at this point if you feel like he is the best guy. Do you feel like he's the best guy, or if you're Houston, are you going in a different direction?
I went Jalen Green just because I think the upside is the highest. He had a really good year in the G League. You know,
really?
And you talked about John Wall, Eric Gordon's there for three more years. Does not matter. Yep. That's irrelevant. But Jalen Green's an elite athlete. He shot it well. He can score it at all three levels. You know, he shot 46 from the field, 36 from three. You have to like the fact that his shooting has got better. It seems like every time you've seen him, if you've seen him kind of spread out, whether that's from high school to now a year in the G League, he seems like a mature kid. He's played against high-level competition. You know, he's played against pros. So, to me, you know, I really like Jalen Suggs. I think he's a winner. But, to me, Jalen Green makes the most sense, I think, for Houston at two.
Yeah, I think he's got the highest upside.
Totally.
You know, and that's where you probably say, hey, if we can get a wing that's 6'5", that's super athletic, that shot a 37 from three, well, can he be a guy that you just put the ball in his hands and eventually he can be a bigger Donovan Mitchell type, right, sure. And just make plays? He's not a point guard. He's never going to be. But Donovan Mitchell's not a point guard.
Right.
You know, but you give him the ball – and he's so athletic and, again, so difficult to guard and stay in front of. You know, I didn't expect Jalen Green to do what he did in the bubble. But, again, he was terrific. I'm with you. I'd go Jalen Green there. But, man, I would think hard about going Jalen Suggs, even though they have John Wall and $91 million still owed to him.
That I mean, 2 years.
Insane. Let me tell you guys a little bit of our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now is the time. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart? They require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. When you win at Bet Rivers Sportsbook, they pay fast. And now it's even faster with Rush Pay instant approval for withdrawals. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. Go to BetRivers.com today or download the app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Quick break from Jeff and Rob to tell you today's show is brought to you by LinkedIn. Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. And I can tell you, as a small business owner, we are slammed. People going back to the office, people getting married again, they need dress clothes, and we are absolutely slammed to the point where we are actually running out of stuff. So if you have weddings, this is just a quick aside. If you have weddings and need to plan for things, shop ahead of time. Us small business owners are focused on managing and growing our business. We can't always spend the time we wish we could on recruiting. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to find and hire the best candidates for free. Look, we are getting somewhat back to normal here in terms of we can afford to hire some new people. When we finally can do so, you best believe I'll be using LinkedIn Jobs to hire the perfect candidate for myself. They have a network of over 740 million professionals. It's a big talent pool to pick from. And I want to be able to sift people out so I can have screening questions that I can put in front of my candidates. And I can find the most qualified one with the experience, skills, and motivation that I need, who has filled out my targeted question the best. Then I can filter and prioritize top candidates that I would like to interview for, you know, future growth of my business. LinkedIn Jobs help you hire the right person for your role. As you know, every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn. Well, that's unbelievable. 40 million. Again, that's a lot of talent pool there. Post your first job for free at LinkedIn.com/good. That's LinkedIn.com/good to post your first job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Then you get to Cleveland. Kobe Altman. Cleveland's got, you know, a decision here. To me, this is clearly a top four draft. I think there's a big gap after four. A lot of people disagree with me. I've heard people calling it like a five or a six man draft. I think it's a clear four. And that's where I think Cleveland and Toronto made out here, getting in that top four, and neither could go wrong. Now, right. Cleveland has Colin Sexton. They have Darius Garland. It's a small, small backcourt. If you draft Jalen Suggs, who I think is a better – like, I would rather have Jalen Suggs than Evan Mobley, Rob. But I just don't think – I think then you have to make a move. You're forced to have to trade
him. You have to trade him then.
And I just don't think his value is high enough.
Right.
That you're going to be able to get enough for him. You think he's worth more than everybody else does. So I would take Evan Mobley. Right. Again, going against what I said earlier, mm-hmm. which is don't draft for position. I think it's close enough here that I would go Evan Mobley.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a perfect fit. You mentioned the guards, but think about if you take Mobley, the logjam of bigs you have.
Yeah.
Because now you've got Kevin Love,
yep.
Jared Allen, who's got a qualifying offer out to him, and you have Larry Nance.
Right.
So, like, yep. you've got a lot of bigs. But with that being said, I saw Evan Mobley at the NCAA tournament. And that dude has some abilities and some skills that, man, like, he is gifted. He's talented. He's long. He can do a lot of things. And the question for Evan Mobley, and you have talked about this. I think you've actually – he might have said this to you.
He did.
Is how much does he like basketball?
Yeah.
And that's terrifying because when big guys don't like basketball.
Yep. Well, what he said to me was when
not like it, but just like I don't.
No, he said he flat out said he was like when I was young, I didn't love basketball. Mm-hmm. Now again, can you grow to love basketball? Sure, you can. I think it's rare. I think usually either you love
it. You better have it. You better have.
My daughter. My daughter didn't love sports until 3 years ago. Now she does love it.
Switch got flipped. Yeah.
Right.
I do think that bigs that don't like to play or love to play can be really terrifying. But I do think that Evan Mobley has got a lot of ability. Defensively, he can be just an absolute monster. You can switch pick and roll. He can protect the rim. So I went Evan Mobley too, but I really went back and forth. And I thought the same thing that you did, where it's like if you're going to draft Jalen Suggs, then you're going to have to get rid of Colin Sexton. Because I don't feel like they're doing that with Darius Garland. They're still.
I think if you're Cleveland, you're going to try to increase their trade value as much as you can and almost get phony numbers with these guys, right? Like that's what you do with a lot of young players on these crappy teams is somebody's got to get numbers.
It's true. Somebody's got to score.
Correct. Even when you're losing by 30,
somebody's
going to get points, somebody's going to get rebounds, somebody's going to get assists. So, you know, to me, you've got to somehow get, and I don't think Garland or Sexton have done enough to be able to land. Now, what I would do, and I don't know, if I'm Toronto, if I'm Kobe Altman, I'm putting out signs, you know, that I'm drafting Mobley and Suggs. I want Toronto to feel like they have to move up because they want to get their guy. Right. Whether it's Suggs or Mobley, maybe if you're Cleveland, you can drop down one and say, you know what? We'll flip with you.
Right.
So you can get your guy. We don't care.
Yeah. Right. Either way.
We don't care.
I would say, you know, certainly for Toronto, right now, that's the position they're in. If Cleveland's going to draft Evan Mobley, then it has to be Jalen Suggs. And honestly, Suggs, to me, fits really well in Toronto at four because you're losing Kyle Lowry. You have Fred VanVleet.
Yes. Well, good job. But
you need that point guard of the future. Yeah. And when you look at what Jalen Suggs was able to accomplish in 1 year, didn't shoot the ball great, did have some turnover issues as a freshman, but, man, that dude, he wins, he makes huge plays. The shot at the Final Four is enough to be said with that. And his measurables are great. I mean, he is an elite athlete. At 6'4", that dude can move. So I think, you know, it's like you said, whoever falls to them at four, great.
Yeah, listen, I think you can make a clear case that Jalen Suggs could or should be the number two pick. And nobody would argue with that. Nobody. He's that talented. I think he has a potential to be a top five point guard in the NBA at some point in his career. I think he's that talented. Again, he's got to get his shot better. And he's got to take care of the ball. But some of the things that he sees.
Totally. And that's what you're going to get that, though, with elite passers. They're going to turn it over because they're taking – chances and
it's like John Morant.
Yeah, right. Totally.
Same thing. I mean, yeah. All right. So then we said at two, it gets interesting. I think at five, it gets even more interesting because to me, I don't think anybody has any clue what to do there. I'm not as big a Jonathan Kuminga fan as many are. And I've said this since day one that I felt like there were four guys and then a big gap. And I would not take Kuminga if I'm the Orlando Magic and Jeff Weltman. I wouldn't. I think, you know, to me, if I'm going a guy who's defensive minded, which I don't want to go if I'm Orlando. I don't want to. I think they need offense. I think, first of all, they need to get the guy. See, I might go Booknight personally. I know it's a reach. I'd probably try to move down if I could.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if I'm Orlando, you know, Scotty Barnes, Jonathan Kuminga, even Davion Mitchell, like they're all defensive minded dudes that aren't great, great offensive players. James Booknight to me has the chance to be, you know, a 16, 18 point a game guy. Those three guys we mentioned do not.
Right. Yeah, this is tough. And you look at Orlando. They're in the best position to trade up, but you don't feel like anybody's going to want to trade down like to their picks.
No.
You have, what, 5-8 for them? I agree with Kuminga. I think he's really raw. He's an elite athlete, but I went between Booknight and Scotty Barnes, and I went Barnes.
Yeah.
Just because of the Florida deal, because he's got good size and he can facilitate. Not a great shooter.
It's fine because at 8 – at 8, you could be saying to yourself, hey, you know what? Booknight's still going to be there for us.
You totally could. You totally could. So I went with Barnes. He's a really, really good defender.
Great defender.
He can guard almost every position except for probably the 5. If they're small, he could do that too. If you get Jonathan Isaac back from injury, you have to think that's a pretty formidable defensive lineup right there. But you're right. They need to get guys that can make shots.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, same thing with Oklahoma City a little bit, right? Who's at 6. You know, you're talking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lu Dort, not a great offensive player. Like, he's got a
roster turnover, like roster chaos with you. Assume Kemba Walker's getting traded.
Yeah, they're going to try to trade Kemba at some point, but I don't think you're going to be able to trade him with that contract right away. Baisley's decent, you know? So, like, for me, if I'm Oklahoma City – I'm also looking at a guy who could score, a guy who could shoot it.
Wait, you went Booknight, Orlando, and I went Barnes. So Booknight's off the table for OKC for you.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I mean, honestly, I don't know what you do here. I try to trade if I'm Presti. And again, I know he's got a million draft picks. Why not get more? I mean, Sam Presti probably sleeps with posters of all his draft picks.
The lottery ball is right next to his bed.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are we doing here?
So Sam Presti likes my mock draft here a lot better than yours because he can still take Booknight.
100%. Oh, I think he's thrilled. Yeah, he's thrilled if he's got it.
You pair him with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's got great size. Did you see his workout at the combine? It's become like this mythical.
No.
The word is that James Bouknight had this mythical shooting performance at the combine.
Really?
It's like driven his stock.
I love Bouknight. I love him.
I can't believe you haven't heard about this.
No, no, I haven't heard.
As anybody.
Yeah, I have not heard about it. I have not at all.
But you've been at the Peace Jam getting bee stings too much, apparently.
Pretty much the problem. I'm out of it right now. Completely out of it between, you know.
Who you got Golden State at 7?
So Golden State at 7, I have Davion Mitchell.
Really? I mean, I guess they're trying to win now, so.
I mean, you could give me – I think Scotty Barnes is still on the board for me. So I'll take Scotty Barnes, I guess.
All right.
I'll take Scotty, but Scotty's like Draymond 2.0.
Yeah, he is. I went Moses Moody, which I don't know.
I like that one.
Just because he can score within the flow of an offense. I think he's a smart kid. I think he plays like with a high understanding of what's going on. He'll pass. He's not going to need to necessarily feel like he's got to create all the time. And I don't think he wants to, but he shot it, you know, 36% from three last year. If you're trying to win now, I think the Warriors are obviously trying to shop the pick. I think if they can, they'll trade their picks and get veterans in there. But if you can't,
Moody can do this and he can guard.
Right, right. So I think Moody's
great for him.
I think he's a good pick.
I love that pick.
The crazy thing is Kuminga is still on the board, and it's just he's the guy that's fallen.
Yeah, Kuminga for me. If I'm taking Bouknight at 5 for Orlando, I'm taking Kuminga at 8. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Kuminga at 8 for Orlando. To me, I take my score at 5 and wait and get one of Barnes or Kuminga or Davion Mitchell.
That's interesting. So I went at 8. Franz Wagner. And we talked about how they need guys that can score.
Yeah.
I think he can shoot it better than he has. I really believe that. Everything that we heard coming out of Ann Arbor was that, man, he's shooting the ball great. He's shooting the ball great. Freshman year breaks his hand. All right. So that's out the window. Last year, he improved a little bit, but I mean, 34% still is not great. But I just think that he still can shoot the ball better. He's a big time defender. Yep. He's got great size. So I thought Franz Wagner made a lot of sense, but I'm also banking on the fact that I really think he's going to eventually make shots.
Yeah.
And who knows if he will.
I like 9 Sacramento. I would go Moses Moody there. Okay. I think again, I don't know how long Buddy Hield is built for Sacramento. You keep hearing the trade rumors.
Right.
They need shooters around De'Aaron Fox, Haliburton come in. Obviously he can shoot it, but Moody's a guy who can guard and really, really space a court. So I like him at 9.
My last two picks, you might clown. I might be reaching hard here. I want Kai Jones.
I like Kai Jones.
I think he has so much upside.
Yep.
You can play him at the 4 or the 5. He can really handle it, and then he can just anchor your defense.
Yeah.
I think that the way he plays with a motor. I really liked Kai Jones this year. I honestly really liked Texas this year, and then they, you know, lost to Abilene Christian. But I went Kai Jones at 9 for Sacramento.
Yeah, and I would probably go Kai Jones at 10 for New Orleans because
– wait, but isn't that Memphis now?
Did they trade?
Because Valanciunas is going to
– oh, right. That was today. Yeah. So Memphis, I'll still go Kai Jones at 10. I'll still go Kai Jones. I just think his potential is
I agree.
So high. 6'11", can shoot it. He's the perfect kind of face-up four man that everybody wants right now scratching the surface of what he can become.
Yep, I'd be okay with that. You might hate this pick too. I went Corey Kispert at 10. Just because I just think from a needs perspective, you keep giving Ja Morant space to play. And if Kispert's the best shooter in the draft, you know, Memphis shot, they were 20th in the NBA in 3-point shooting, 35%. So, you know, Kispert shot 44. You just give him guys that can make shots. And that may very well be a pick where you're like, dude, you can't take him at 10. Maybe you trade down and get him, but I don't know. So I just thought that the team need there.
Yep.
Is so strong with what Ja Morant does well.
All right, so who is the guy in the draft, the biggest sleeper, the most undervalued guy that, again, most people don't have going nearly as high as you have him going? Who do you love?
I mean, I guess the obvious choice for me has got to be Jalen Suggs. I have him going at 4, and he could easily be at 2. But then, like,
no, later on,
if you're talking about later on, yeah, I'll go Kai Jones.
Okay.
I think Kai Jones.
Give me one further down.
Oh my God, how far you want me to go?
I want to go one like further down. Like if I said, you know, if I want Brandon Boston.
Okay, so
something like that. I want somebody that, you know, Josh Christopher.
All right, hold on.
David Johnson.
Let me pull up a list of players here so I can go far enough down the list here for you.
Like, everybody loves Chris Duarte now. That's the hot one.
He has become
– yes.
Yes, he certainly has become a hot name. Do you want me to go like Luka Garza? Is that far enough down for you?
Well, yeah, but what do you think Luka Garza is going to be in the league?
I mean, if he can make shots, he could be a stretch
five. Stretch five?
Yeah. All right.
You know who everybody likes too?
I mean,
Bones Highland is moving up.
Yeah.
From VCU.
I'm going to go. You know what? This will be deep for you. I'm going to go Joe Wieskamp.
I like that one. I like that one.
I'm biased there, but I think he's a good athlete. I think he can make shots.
Yep.
And I think that he's a guy that can fit in a lot of different places and be productive. And I would honestly say he kind of reminds me a little bit of Kevin Herter.
I'm a fan.
And he's been very effective.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan. Who's the guy you're worried about the most? Who's the guy that, you know, people have going higher that you're just like, eh?
This is easy because we didn't take him in the lottery, and it's got to be Kuminga. I mean, he's gone from like a consensus top five pick to where we didn't even – I mean, that's an easy decision for
– I'm worried about him. I'm just worried about him. I saw him playing
AAU. I'm also leery, though, of this question because we were all on the LaMelo
train. We screwed up last year.
And I – hey, for all the LaMelo fans out there, we're sorry.
Yeah, we didn't like him for different reasons, I think.
I was blinded by my dislike of his father.
Yeah, well, maybe it was the same reason. Because you didn't have to, you know, deal with his father like I did, okay?
Sure.
I guess – I was blinded by his immaturity when I was around him.
Yeah.
That was my biggest thing is I felt like he was never going to guard a tree. Didn't want to guard and the shot was broke. And I love the obviously the court vision and all that and the passing ability, but I just didn't think he was mature enough to figure it out this quickly. But
yeah.
I give him credit. The guy that here's the guy that I want to get your take on. All right. Because I still think he should go higher than people have him projected. Tell me why Io is a guy that some people don't even have going like in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, a guy that produced at a high level in college. I guess you just wonder, like, everybody's his size in the NBA. So when he's getting downhill on these handoffs and these ball screens, and he's just bullying his way to the rim, because he would do that. He would just play bully ball. Man, try to play bully ball with some of these guards that are tanks.
Right.
Jeff Gibbs like bodies.
You're going to have nightmares of Jeff Gibbs.
This dude's just still got me on the block just going to town, dude. But no, everybody is that big. And everybody is strong. And everybody's athletic. And
he shot it well, though, Rob. The one area that everybody wanted to see with Io that they were ripping on early was – Can't shoot it. He shot like 39% from three last year.
I know.
So he answered that bell.
He did, and certainly answered that question. The NBA draft is amazing to me because it's all about momentum. Like guys like Chris Duarte is just riding this wave right now. Yes. Booknight is riding this wave.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Io hasn't got there. You know, you wonder how he's worked out for some of these teams. You also wonder if maybe he had a couple good workouts and those teams are trying to keep him quiet and he will go at like 12 or 13 or wherever. But I think that the biggest concern I have with Io Desumu is that he's going to see a greater caliber of athlete and really just bigger bodies at this level. But you're right. He did exactly what they said. Go back to school and shoot the ball better.
Right. And he did that. Who are you rooting for the most in this draft? Who's the player that you like the most? I'll give you mine. I'll buy you a few seconds here. Mine is clearly Jared Butler.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I mean, as good a kid as there were some significant medical concerns where he wasn't cleared until recently by the NBA And I wasn't sure. And I know all the specifics of this. I'm not going to say them on this pod, but I wasn't sure he was ever going to be cleared by the NBA.
That's a good one. I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
I'm going to go for my first one, Jericho Sims, because I think that his improvement is really amazing to see. Yeah. I mean, those videos of him putting his chin on the rim.
He's a freak.
He's so athletic, dude. Freak. I just think that he'd be a really good story of somebody who's kind of like flown under the radar, really quiet kid, very unassuming, and now he's put himself in a position to get drafted. And then I've always really liked Isaiah Livers' game.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll – I would assume he'll get drafted in the second round. He's got good size. He can make shots. But I've always been a fan from afar. So I will go with those two guys.
All right. Well, listen, we've covered a lot of ground from
these things to the draft.
Incredible. Don't forget about – you're on the court antics. All right. Let's not forget about that. We cannot just gloss over that.
I have to give props to Evan Turner last night. He tweeted and I got back to the locker room after this game last night. He tweeted and Evan was my roommate in Belgrade and we played against each other a ton. So I have a good relationship with him, but he is the biggest trash talker ever. He tweeted when Gibbs was giving me buckets. He goes, "At Robbie Hummel, do you even lift weights anymore?" And then in the third quarter, I had 10 quick points. It must have happened really fast because there was another tweet right after it. Oh, never mind. You're good. So I thought that was funny, even in defeat in my TBT debut last night.
You know what I'm hoping? Maybe the next podcast we do, maybe we're going to bring on Jeff Gibbs. I think we need to do that.
You know what? If it's good for the pod, I'm willing.
You're to in? You're in. All right. Well, the next pod will be a full recap of the NBA draft. So we will do that. Maybe even later this week, Rob. This might be a twice a week pod. I don't know if you can handle that. You've been a little lazy lately.
I have not been on the pod grind like you have.
You're back though. You're back, right?
You carried the name, image, and likeness stuff though. I mean, that's your reporter. That's your stuff.
I know. Listen, I got to hold it down for us. You know, we can't let the pod go away. So I gotta make sure you make enough money here. That you don't have to be in the TBT again.
I'm asking for a raise this year from Field of 68. These conditions I've been working under here are not.
Well, listen,
my boss. My boss is just a guy that doesn't care about his employees.
Right. He almost left me for dead. I mean, think about this. I could be dead right now, and Rob Doster would have no idea. Right now, stuck in the Augusta Marriott Courtyard, on the floor, dying right now of a bee sting. But
I need to reevaluate my options here. There's some good ones out there, though. There's some real good ones of people that run good podcasts. That's
very true. All right. We'll see you next week. Goodman and Hummel Pod, thanks for coming back. Thanks for Rob coming back. And hit the weights, Rob. Hit the weights.
Nice. Nice ending.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.